And welcome to the End Time Shofar, End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. I'm your host, Gerald, the Shofar Sound, sounding the shofar in these last and evil days that we are definitely living in the last minutes of the last days, and Jesus is soon to return. This podcast will be part of the series that we've been dealing with aliens. It is called The Coming Alien Deception, Pop Culture Aiding the Deception, Part 3. So this is Part 3 of The Coming Alien Deception. We recently did a podcast in regards to Demi Lovato and Kesha, in regards to them being the oracles for the alien deception that's coming, or being oracles for the alien agenda. In that podcast, I'm just going to give a couple of highlights because it kind of plays into what we're talking about, how pop culture is aiding the deception and actually this propaganda that is preparing the minds and hearts of mankind to be deceived, a great deception that's going to come over this whole planet. In that, we discussed how Lovato had just released a docuseries called Unidentified, Demi Lovato, the Peacock TV.com, which is NBC streaming service. And then also too, how Kesha has her own podcast called Kesha and the Creepers, which she did have Lovato on the podcast, and they discussed things such as aliens, some other things and all. And Lovato was able to kind of influence her certain books to read about aliens and channeling aliens and pretty much promoting people to channel these beings, which is no more than demon possessions when you're talking about channeling. Also, we discussed one of the episodes that Lovato did on her docuseries Unidentified on episode 4, which was titled Countdown to Contact. Her and her social media team had got together and posted to her fans that she was going to Sedona, that they're looking for to have this experience with extraterrestrials and have sightings with UFOs and to make contact. She, in this post, stressed to her fans to come together with her at this particular time so they can meditate with her best friend Matthew and her sister Dallas to enable them to make contact with these aliens. Now, we're talking about pop culture. Even with the influence that Lovato has, we can just look at her social media platforms in regards to the amount of followers that she has on Instagram is over 115 million followers. And then even on Twitter, she has 54 million followers on Twitter. So pop culture definitely has a way of influencing society into believing that these unidentified objects and having these encounters or abductions with quote unquote aliens are very real. And Satan is definitely propping or preparing people for that day. We can look at Revelation 12, where it says that finally when Satan is cast out from the heavenlies, which it states that he is the prince and power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2, and he works within the children of disobedience, those who don't believe. When we see that, and when we see in Revelation chapter 9, when the fallen watchers are released from the abyss, and those demons who when we look at the book of Jubilees, I believe it's about 9/10 of demons were actually confined to the abyss, will be released during the great tribulation time. You think it's bad now, it's going to be a magnification of even more evil that will take place up on this planet. You haven't seen anything yet. One of the interesting things that I did find in regards to pop culture, how pop culture is fueling UFOs and extraterrestrials. This article was found in NBC News, and it was done May 27th of 2021. And it's called How Pop Culture Set the Stage for the Coming UFO Report, for Better or for Worse. And I'm just going to read from this article because it's very enlightening. It very, very much lines up with what we're talking about and how this propaganda is becoming even more and more greater. You see the connection again. It's not by accident that Demi Lovato came out with this docuseries, and people are being encouraged to identify with extraterrestrials and UFOs as actual religious belief, because they stress transmeditation or occult meditation and other things and all to get in contact with these spirit beings. Also, when people are indulging in drugs, it opens you up to the spirit realm, which opens you up to these entities. The article's this article is done by Daniel Arkin, and states the U.S. government is finally starting to publicly acknowledge UFOs. The creator of the X-Files has been waiting for this moment for decades. It's something I've been interested in for a long time. So to see it make the equivalent of front page news is a delight, Chris Carter said in a phone conversation. It's potentially transformative moment for the American public as intelligence agencies prepare to deliver a report to Congress about what they call unidentified aerial phenomena. But it's especially peculiar time for artists who have long shaped our collective understanding of mysterious flying objects. Barry Sonnenfeld, the director of all three installments of the original Black Men in Black trilogy, said he's terrified about what might be learned. It's scary if there are aliens out there. I can't imagine they're nice, and I don't think we deserve to be treated particularly nicely. Let's face it, humans are the virus of the planet, he said. Sonnenfeld's anxiety benefits man whose autobiography is subtitled Memoirs of a Neurotic Filmmaker and the First Men in Black After All. Cockroach-style invader disguises himself as a farmer and goes on a killing spree. The idea of UFOs arriving on Earth has long been linked to public consciousness with aliens and refracted through the prisms of Hollywood. For better or worse, this paradigm that our some creators have gleefully embraced others and have tried to thoughtful to subvert. So an article states that even Hollywood, the entertainment industry, and we see the media has played a significant part into forming this belief system of UFOs. It goes on, it says, in the 1950s, the day the Earth stood still and the invasions of the body snatchers channeled Cold War paranoia. In more recent decades, scared by global terrorism, otherworldly visitors laid waste Washington, which is Independence Day, New York, the Avengers, other landmarks. The X-Files went deeper to imagining both paranormal phenomena and a vast government conspiracy to hide the truth about extraterrestrial life. The show, a 1990s cult hit starring David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson as FBI agents who investigate mysterious occurrences, was partly inspired by what Carter described as the residue of Watergate-era distrust of government. The Hollywood role in shaping public attitudes about UFOs is what's considered socially acceptable in dinner party conversation, which accounts of perpetrated sightings are taken seriously. It's hard to overstate, difficult to pin down. The mass media interest in UFOs has often been a double-edged sword, fueling legitimate interest in the topic while sensationalizing it to sell tickets or boost ratings. Diane Walsh, Pazulka, a professor of philosophy and religion at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and author of America, Cosmic UFOs, Religion, Technology, said UFO theme entertainment can be divided into roughly two categories that have coexisted for decades and sometimes overlap. And the first are titles in which UFO events is revealed to be detrimental to humans, such as Independence Day and other violent disaster epics. And the second are projects in which UFO encounters take on a gently philosophical dimension and strange visitors essentially benevolent, such as Steven Spielberg's Close Encounter of the Third Kind, E.T., The Extraterrestrial. Mark Fergus, a co-writer of the 2011 genre mashup Cowboys and Aliens, said Hollywood has often stepped in to provide fictional but spiritually resonant explanation for cosmic riddles and national mysteries, such as Roswell incident in 1947. Cowboys and Aliens was co-produced and distributed domestically by Universal Pictures, a unit of NBC Universal. There's always been a tremendous sense that nobody adequately explained it away, to the point where the interest of UFOs lingers in the culture, Fergus says. Pazuka, however, said she believes that some of the mass media depictions of UFOs, along with the government attempts to manage national narratives, have impeded serious study. Lots of people think who believe in UFOs are weirdos, are fringe, are marginal, she said. The credible serious study of UFOs has been impacted by how people who believe in them have represented the culture. In other words, mass entertainment has made it easy to dismiss believers as conspirator cartoons rather than treat UFOs as a potential pressing matter of scientific inquiry, even national security. The day after the former Navy pilot David Frever spotted an unidentified TikTok-looking object during a training exercise over the Pacific Ocean 2004, for instance, the crew on his ship used Hollywood shorthand to razz him, and they looped Men in Black signs and other alien invasion movies, internal television channels, Frever said. Pazuka observed that over the years, the more conventional scary depiction of UFOs have tended to be more popular, feeding off typical desires by thrill and transported. And yet, Denis Villeneuve's meditative drama Arrival, a commercial and critical success released in 2016, offers an interesting case in a study of alternative approach. Arrival centers on linguistics played by Amy Adams, tasked with deciphering the language used in intergalactic visitors inside a spaceship that resembles a metallic black egg. The film upspools its secrets and methodically, ultimately reveals itself to be allegorical about the importance of international communication in a world malformed by stubborn nationalism and knee-jerk militarism. Aaron Ryder, one of the producers of Arrival, said that the movie was being shot in Canada in 2015, and he felt it was probably inevitable that there would be one day undeniable evidence that UFOs exist and alien life exists. Ryder was the executive of another modern sci-fi classic, Donnie Darko. If anything, I'm surprised it's taken long for the information to come out. Ryder said this week, I'm wondering why we haven't been demanding this disclosure far earlier. Why should this evidence be kept a secret? It's about time. So we see how this was an article published on NBCNews.com, major news platform. We're not talking about some grocery store tabloid magazine that you see on the rack before you go and check out and you buy your food, but we're talking about NBC, and we're talking about NBC, the Peacock TV.com, producing a docuseries of Demi Lovato, which again promotes a religious flavor of just not just UFOs and not just having the sightings, but definitely a spiritual element that is anti-God, anti-Christ. Now, we have to see how media and Hollywood movies do play a part in propaganda. In Bertrand Russell's book called America, page 109, he says, "But perhaps the most important of all the modern agents of propaganda in cinema is leading almost worldwide uniformity. The great majority of young people in almost all civilizations or civilized countries desire their ideals of love, of honor, of the way to make money, and of the importance of good clothes from evening spent in seeing what Hollywood thinks is good for them. I doubt rather all the churches and schools combined have, he goes on and states, that much influence as cinema on the opinions of the young. The producers of Hollywood are the high priests of a new religion. So we see Hollywood is definitely playing a large part in forming people's opinions, people, how they dress, but UFOs and extraterrestrials is definitely playing a part in the entertainment entertainment industry. We can look at movies, television shows. The article did mention X-Files. We see certain movies called Arrival, Prometheus. We even see within the music industry and all has played even a part in music videos and certain music lyrics that played a part. Edward Bernie said this about propaganda, because this is propaganda that is setting the tone for when these beings arrive and no longer have access to the heavenlies, because the Bible says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because Satan's time is short and he's come in wrath. He's going to come very deceitful, being nice. Hey, we've been examining you guys for all these centuries. We've been waiting for you guys to really fully evolve. And now we've come to help you guys take the next step where you guys can reach godhood. And we give you guys these technologies, all these disease and famines that been plaguing you guys. And it's going to look like a utopia with the Antichrist being one of the centerpieces and the false prophet. But another thing about propaganda, Edward Bernie stated in his book Propaganda, he says, the American motion picture is the greatest unconscious carrier of propaganda in the world today. It is the great distributor for ideals and opinions. The motion pictures can standardize the ideals and habits of a nation. So quickly, I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, because we're talking about propaganda and how movies and music and all these things play a factor in it. It says, this is from the Orthodox Jewish Bible. It says, do not fall under a delusion. Bad associations and influence corrupts good manners. All right, I'm going to read the same scripture from the King James Version. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So evil communications corrupt good manners. So we see how within this UFO extraterrestrial propaganda, it is starting to form a religious aspect of it. Even when we looked at the series with Demi Lovato, Unidentified, it definitely had, each episode had an overflow of Eastern mysticism and New Age belief system, which these aliens tend to promote a very anti-Christ message, that they promote that we are little gods, we're slowly evolving, that Jesus was an ascended master, that Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. Quote unquote, he wasn't really born as God. He was born that aliens came and impregnated Mary, and that's how he came to be. That they stress transmeditation and other occult type things, and they stress that devils are really good and that Christianity is bad, and that since Christianity is is pretty much it's exclusive, not inclusive. They promote that very much a ecumenical religious flavor, that all religions are the same. So even when we look at music, how this plays a part with pop culture, we look at the song that Katy Perry did with Kanye West back in 2010, entitled E.T. And she had co-wrote this with her producer, Dr. Luke and Max Martin. And some of the things that she stated in these lyrics, she says, "You're so hypnotizing. Could you be a devil? Could you be an angel? Your touch magnetizes. Feels like I'm floating, leaves my body glowing. They said to be afraid, you're not like the others. Futuristic lover, different DNA, they don't understand you." So just even based on this, Jesus has said, when one of the main signs of his coming, he says, as in the days of Noah. Sometimes we really brush, especially Western Christians, we kind of brush past that and not really fully embrace what Jesus is saying from Second Temple Judaism and just ancient Near East culture, what he's talking about. He's in essence talking about Genesis 6, which we dealt with in part 2 of the series, how these watchers had came down to earth and they began to teach mankind different esoteric knowledge that was very destructive, whether it was technology, so forth and all. But they began to sleep and have sex, sexual intercourse, which the book of Jude talks about how those angels left the first estate and they came down and they began to go after human females and on. They began to produce children, which were the Nephilim, which Katy Perry is talking about, which she states again, she's talking about, could you be a devil? Could you be an angel? Futuristic lover, different DNA, they don't understand you. So this is prepping mankind. Once these watchers, also these fallen watchers that were in prison, on top of what the book, they talk about in First Enoch, how these watchers were, for their crimes, they were imprisoned to the abyss. And then also in the book of Jubilees, I believe chapter 10, it talks about how once after the flood, how the watch, these fallen watchers' children, the Nephilim, once they were killed by the flood, or they killed each other, bloody battle, and they were hybrids, so their spirit had nowhere to go, so their disembodied spirits, they began to plague mankind. So Noah went and intercede for his children. So God allowed that at least 9/10 of these demonic spirits to be sealed up until the final days. So you see all this stuff occurring. So Katy Perry's lyrics, that is coming from another realm. It's coming from a spiritual realm where she is channeling definitely a message and all. Even when we go and we can look at this was an ABC Family miniseries that was done in 2006 called Fallen. And this particular series is about an 18-year-old high school boy named Aaron who discovers that he is a Nephilim, a human-angel hybrid. It goes on and says that Aaron is a redeemer of the prophecy that a Nephilim with the ability to redeem the fallen angels and return them to heaven. So this is a distorted message saying that this Nephilim, not Jesus Christ, but this Nephilim was able to help redeem these fallen angels, which the Bible, the Word of God, talks about that once these angels sinned against God, there's no redemption for them. There's redemption for mankind. For God so loved the world, whoever believes in Jesus, they'll be saved. Okay, I'm paraphrasing John 3:16. It says that by him redeeming these fallen angels, they're able to return to heaven. This is Gnosticism and other things and all, because even in the movie Noah that was done just a few years ago with Russell Crowe was very Gnostic. I believe even one part of the movie that they had these fallen watchers helping Noah build the ark and all, just very distorted and very slanted, and just see how Satan is at work. But it goes on within his miniseries. It says that his father turns out to be Lucifer in a miniseries. So turns out that in this miniseries that Lucifer is the father of Aaron and his mother is a human woman. This was based on the writings of Thomas Sanofsky, which his novel series is called The Fallen. So here you have not just something produced and writing. This guy had a series of books that led to this miniseries that came on the small screen, which Anton LaVey, the Church of Satan, talked about having TVs in your home. It's almost like having a little mini altar because it gives satanic messages that come across. I'm not saying not all TV is bad that come in there, but it's a reason why they said television programs, because it's a way of programming your mind. Because if you're looking at the screen for a long amount of hours and you shut down your critical thinking, subconsciously is able to feed your mind messages. Even when we look at Marvel, the Marvel movies with Guardians of the Galaxy, we see Peter Quill, the Star-Lord, is the offspring of a god Eagle who comes down to Earth in a spacecraft, and he has a sexual relationship with Quill's mother, and they conceive Peter Quill, which he's known, if you see on Guardians of the Galaxy 2, before it starts off, they said that his genetic makeup was very unusual, very interesting. So as the movie progresses, you find out that his dad is actually a god. So it feeds into the mindset when you see things like that. I can even go all the way back to the 80s. This is a 1984's miniseries, V, which is The Visitors. The Visitors were quote unquote these humanoids. They look human, but they're reptilian. And they come to visit the Earth. They come to promise the Earth that they come to help them and all these other things and all, looking like they're alien saviors. And it's one part of the series where this one of the visitors, this alien, has sex with this teenage human girl, and he impregnates her, and they have this hybrid child. Even when we look at movies that promote Greek theology, theology and mythology, Percy Jackson film series, see Percy Jackson, both films, Percy Jackson and Olympians, and The Lightning Thief, and Percy Jackson, The Sea Monsters. We see it's based on Rick Warden's or Riordan's novel series. So Rick Riordan wrote these novels, and there's a series. You can find these all in Barnes and Noble in the teen section, so people read these things. So Percy is a Greek demigod because his father is the Greek god Poseidon and his mother is Sally Jackson, a mortal. So we go on, and even and the it was started off on Fox, and then it moved to Netflix. The series Lucifer, we see Lucifer has a girlfriend called, her name is Chloe. She's an LAPD officer. They initially start off as friends, and then eventually it evolves into a romantic sexual relationship. Eventually, Lucifer and Chloe conceive a daughter named Aurora Morningstar, which it states when you look this up under the series, Chloe and Lucifer's daughter, Aurora, she's called Nephilim. So it's setting the finale of when things begin to occur and when these beings no longer have access to the heavens and they come down and they can be visually seen. The game plan's already been started and it's already been formulated. One of the other things that I find interesting also too, book that was written in the 80s, very profound, has some good things to say in regards to what we're talking about, propaganda and other things and all, is the Omega Conspiracy, which was written by Dr. I.D.E. Thomas. And he talks about science fiction, and he mentions some good things about, very profound, about how science fiction plays a part. In his section called Science Fiction Theological Overtones, he says, another clue to the mystery lies in the world's fascination with UFOs is early in the 1970s, Star Wars and Close Encounters of the Third Kind, record breakers at the box office. Spielberg masterpieces were superb in their scientific gadgetry and realistic effects. Ray Bradbury called Close Encounters the greatest film of the last 20 years, and it portrayed the arrival upon Earth of alien beings from outer space. The films and their sequels arose millennial expectations, and they were science fiction with theological overtones, better sense of reality. They were no longer considered far-fetched merely for good laughs or chuckle, rather than foreshadow sober, serious possibilities within our lifespan. So I'm going to stop right there, because even with Star Wars, George Lucas promotes a lot of Eastern religion practices and occult practices with the Jedi and some other things, and even with the series talking about Baby Yoda and all, it's just on Disney Plus, The Mandalorian. They call Baby Yoda is a sorcerer. So I'm gonna go ahead and read on. It says it all begun, of course, with science fiction. Edgar Allan Poe wrote about it with the creative analytical genius using short story as his literary vehicles, which Jules Verne elaborated with his fantastic stories, incredible journeys. Then H.G. Wells came on the scene with War of the Worlds. Too many people, he was a guru of science fiction. Yet, across the Gulf space, minds that are my minds and ours to those of the beasts that perish, intellects vast, cool, unsympathetic, regarded the earth in the envious eyes, and slowly and surely drew their plans against it. And early in the 20th century came the great disillusionment of War of the Worlds. This book that informed the basis of Orson Welles' radio hoax in 1938, when the panic-stricken multitudes rushed out of their homes, convinced that the planet had been invaded. H.P. Lovecraft was another in a string of science fiction writers. Some of his ideas were based on biblical statements of conflict between good and evil. He wrote that the earth has been inhabited long ago by gross creatures of vastly superior intellects, which were presently sleeping, but soon to awake and regain the planet. All right. So let's go in and look at Arthur C. Clarke's book, childhood ends, because this actual book was a miniseries that was done on a sci-fi channel, and some of the characters, the overlords, look like the devil. And even in this book, he states that when the overlords come and they finally make themselves known to mankind, they say, "Hey, you guys look like devils." Said, "Oh, don't believe that. You know, that's been taught through your Christian mythology and other things and all that. We're devils. We're actually here to help you evolve. We've been monitoring you guys. Now is the time to come and help you guys evolve to a higher level and all." But this is what Thomas states, and when he's talking about how sci-fi has religious or theological overtones, talking about Arthur C. Clarke and the overlords, he says, "Arthur C. Clarke was another giant in the field. In his masterpiece, Childhood Ends, 1953, he deals with the last generation of man up on Earth. It is the generation which sees its offspring transform into something totally non-human, yet superior to humanity. This book became a catalyst for many and more such works, developing and elaborating a similar theme. According to Woodrow Nichols and Brooke Alexander, it's probably not too much to say that Clark's novel became a cornerstone in developing worldview of a whole generation. It's interesting to note that Clark added a cryptic announcement in italics on the copyright of the page of every edition of his book. The opinions expressed in his book are not those of the author. Among other things, he mentions UFO spaceships arriving on the planet Earth and crewed by the overlords. These overlords were far superior to man's intellect and proceeded to establish a dictatorship upon Earth. It was orderly and benevolent, but the time the overlords began to reveal their true character, and lo, they looked like devils. Actually, however, they were supposed to be high-minded guardians of humanity, ruling behalf of the mysterious overmind. They were here to guide mankind through enormous, inconceivable evolutionary transformation. The new race they produced was the children of the last humans. At least they looked like children, but their faces were devoid of personality, for they are not individuals. They are cells in a body of divinity, neurons in a single mind. Religion even played a role in Clark's fantasy. He had an uncanny gift to bring all strands together: science, mysticism, religion, parapsychology, UFOlogy. The leader of the overlords brings into focus significant mindset. Believe me, it gives me gives us no pleasure to destroy man's faith, but all world religions cannot be right. They know it, and sooner or later, man has to learn the truth. Your mystics, although they were lost in their own delusion, are sent or seen part of the truth. Their powers of the mind and powers behind the mind, which your science could never have brought within its framework without shattering it entirely. All down the ages have been countless reports of strange phenomena, poltergeist, telepathy, premonitions, which have been named and never explained, but they exist, and it is now to complete, and any theory of the universe must account for them. So we definitely see how this definitely plays a part of when we will see a strong delusion, all this propaganda that's taking place. And we had already discussed in several different podcasts the religious belief systems of millennials, Generation Xers and Generation Y have, even those that claim to be Christian, hold more of a new age spiritual belief system, and it is prepping people for what we see. I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto you, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by the letter, as from us, as the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin revealed, and the son of perdition." So we see a bunch of increase in apostasy within the Christian church in these last days, last and evil days that has taken place. And then even people are departing from the faith, even those that are not leaving the church, but they're staying in nominal liberal churches that they incorporate a lot of occult New Age practices and all. This is occurring, and this will accelerate and make the manifestation of the son of perdition to show up, because it says that except there come a falling away first, and that of the sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4, it says, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, and are that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is a God." So when the Antichrist comes, he's going to show himself as God. But these quote unquote extraterrestrials, how Satan and the rest of these fallen heavenly hosts that are fallen come, they're going to present themselves as, and these principalities that rule over these nations, they're going to be within visual sight that you can see them. They're going to present, "Hey, we've been the actual gods behind everything, and we're waiting for you guys again to revolve and take this next step." It says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you and I told you these things, and now you know that withhold it, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God should send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." So this is a great deception, which one of the methods is being used is pop culture is being used as a method of setting up the great deception that takes place. This is the End Time Shofar, End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. This is Gerald Shofar Sound. God bless, and have a blessed and wonderful day.